messages about various paranormal experiences she had had through both email and the normal mail. The experience that concern us here were described by her as follows. My mother was very ill, and her condition was critical, so we took watch at her bedside for a couple of days, from Wednesday, February 28th, until the evening of Friday, March 2nd, 2001. On Thursday morning, I had a special experience while standing at the foot of her bed at about 4:30 a.m. I only fully realized what the nature of the experience was a few hours later. Though I was aware of something at the moment, I did not know what it was. I was standing at the foot of the bed when suddenly I felt my heart get warmer, and the warmth went down to my solar plex, and there was a very thin ray, very, very thin ray, that went to my mother. A few moments later, I was back, and I was smiling. I thought, it will be all right, and I had a feeling of relief. It was very strange to be standing there. My mother had a blood pressure of 62 over 54. That's like seriously low, gang. Later on, one of my sister-in-laws and I went to my parents' place to make sandwiches and stuff for the others who were still at the hospital. I wanted to sit down for a while to relax a bit, and suddenly I was taken by surprise by a light, and I fell asleep from one moment to the next. Then I saw what happened at my mother's bedside. Something had simply made me fall asleep. My mother was standing at the borderline. She had to make a decision. On one side, behind the beautiful bright white light, several people were standing, her father and her mother and her sister, Weepiki, who died at a young age during the war. I was standing on the other side of the border. My background looked cream-colored with brown spots. I told my mother, whatever you will do, everything is going to be all right. But you have to decide. Just know everything will be all right. Even by the time I will be 70 and you will be 100, I will always remain your little girl. It does not matter, but you have to decide. Whatever you do, everything is all right. My mother slowly recovered, and she is still recovering, but she has always kept the will to stay alive, and she will never give it up. I talked with her about this experience, but she claims she cannot remember anything. My mother has lost a lot of memories of her stay at the hospital. She had 6 operations in a short period of time, and she is still having a hard time coping with all of that. I've asked her, though, whom the young girl was standing next to her father and mother. I was able to describe her as a young girl with half-long blonde brown hair who was wearing a dress with a tight top and a wide skirt of checkered material. The name that came to me sounded like Weetje. As I said before, the correct name was Weetke. Weetke. My mother never told anyone about this sister, because soon after my grandparents had another daughter whom they gave the same name to. So obviously there was a sister who passed away, and this woman was not told about this sister for many years. That is why they never talked about the first sister by this name, and no one in the family did. I was very surprised to hear about this sister when I told my mother about our experience at the hospital and asked her some questions. My mother immediately recognized her from my description, the hair, the blue eyes, but especially the dress. According to my mother, this sister really did have such dress. We managed to get separate confirmation from her mother on December 3rd, 2003. She stressed that she had never told her daughter about this sister. She repeatedly said to us, how is it possible that your mother saw, that you saw this? This sister was born in October 1943, and she died in March of 1945. She died because some peas and beans had fallen on the floor, and she ate one of them without us noticing. Earlier that day, Weepke had accompanied the family to the bakery, and she had even eaten some pancakes. But in the evening, the bean or pea had stuck in her trachea and inflated. According to her mother, Nesca thought she recognized her deceased aunt, Wiebke, from a photograph after the sick bed vision. However, the person on the photo was not Wiebke, but a younger sister of her mother's. Remarkably enough, this younger sister did indeed resemble the sister who was born afterward and given the same name. This case is different from other documented experiences of shared deathbed visions because this mother did not die but recovered, and also because her mother does not recall anything of herself. Nevertheless, the correspondence of this sickbed vision with real deathbed visions or near-death experiences, this was a deathbed experience, gang, can hardly be overlooked. Furthermore, the case is reminiscent of that of the nurse Margaret Moser, documented by Susie Smith. I've told you guys about Susie. She was a buddy of mine. She passed away a few years ago. Because Nieske apparently received paranormal impressions of a deceased personality who had thus far been unknown to her. In 1949, Moser, a nurse in Long Island, repeatedly got impressions of, this is the second story, gang, of the apparition of an elderly lady at the deathbed of one of her patients. So here's this nurse, she's getting apparitions. Miss Rose B., who also saw this lady and claimed that it was her late sister, at the funeral of this same patient, Moser noticed a man whose face had a similar features as that of the apparition she had seen. He turned out to be the son of the deceased sister of Miss Rose B. Isn't that something? So these people have these experiences and encounters with apparitions that they don't even know existed, and then after the fact they get validation that yes, these people were alive at one time from other family or patients. The above was sent to me by Titus Rifus, and it's a Dutch account. Yep, gang, they come to me from all across the globe. So thank you so much, Titus. I'm so glad that you reminded me of this account and that I was able to share this. This is Dr. Carla Wills Brandon, and you are about to take a walk to the other side. Boy, gang, don't a lot of you just want to escape right now with everything that's going on in the world? I had one of those days, you know, just one of those days where I came home and I had just had it. I didn't want to see one more thing on TV, listen to one more thing on the radio. I didn't want to hear one more thing about war and trauma and drama. Ooh, I feel just pounded. So I'm sitting here with my cup of kava tea, and I hope you have a cool cold drink. And let's go ahead and let's go back and take a look just for a second. I want to return to some of the conflict that's going on because I did have a interesting experience. While the conflict was going on in Israel, as most of you know, my family and I were a little overwhelmed because we have family in Haifa. Well, I received an email from my buddy Yuri Geller. Now, Yuri Geller is the spoon-bending Israeli psychic who first came to the public eye on the Johnny Carson show when he was really young. And I did Yuri's show a number of years ago, and some people like him, some people don't like him, some people think he's a fraud. Personally, I think he's the real deal. I mean, he was interviewing me from London, I was in Galveston, Texas, and he was able to tell me that I was writing with a red pen. So, boom. But anyway, Yuri emailed me via his BlackBerry. I guess he's got a new BlackBerry. I'm not buying one of those things. And he emailed me from the Israeli-Lebanon border. Now, most people don't know that Yuri is not only Israeli, but that he was in the Israeli army, and he has been very, very involved in brokering a deal involving Israeli and Palestinian aid groups. Now, the Red Cross for the last 56 years would not allow Israeli and Palestinian groups into this organization, but Yuri went over there, and I don't know what the heck he did, but he worked magic, and so now, after 56 years, a vote was taken, and Israel and the Palestinian organizations, aid groups are now a part of the Red Cross. So good work, Yuri. But one thing that did make me nervous, he said that he could see and hear rockets flying overhead. Actually, I got another email from him just yesterday, and it said, "Just came back home. I brought with me a huge piece of a missile that exploded near us. That makes my heart warm, Yuri." Makes my heart warm. Please read my weekly columns. They will be on my website 2 or 3 weeks from now, and I will have a picture up attached to my column. Love, Yuri. So if you guys want to see this Katusha rocket, just plug Yuri Geller homepage into your search engine and go have a peek. Go read some of his columns. He works on his columns on a regular basis. Speaking of Israelis, here's another interesting psychic, and he's supposed to be coming to the States. I'm having a bit of a difficulty trying to figure out how to do this from Israel, so I think I'm going to just wait until he comes to the States. But he's a young man who emailed me. He's gotten a little bit of press here and in Israel. And he sent me an email, and he said, "My name is Nir, the psychic poet, and I was born in 79, April 3rd, 1979. He, too, was in the Israeli army, and he lives just south of Haifa. Seems like a really sweet guy. And his poetry is psychically inspired, and it covers his past lives. If you're interested in reading more about Nir, the psychic poet, that's all you have to plug into your search engine, and boom, off you go. But go ahead and read his series of poems about his past lives. And speaking of past lives and psychic connections, here's a great news article on an American community known as the City of a Thousand Ghosts, and it's from paranormalnews.com. I love that site. And the title of it is Spiritualism Bloomed in Rochester, New York. There is a city that hides behind the corporate veils of companies such as Kodak, Bausch & Lomb, and Xerox. It's a city that is known as Rochester. Paranormal activity has long been a mainstay of this small western New York community. Its reputation for occult activity was once so strong that it was known as the City of a Thousand Ghosts. Oh, isn't that just, ooh, makes me want to go there. Anyone who studies the spiritualist movement knows that it began with two sisters in Hydeville, New York. John and Margaret Fox were devout Methodists living in this part of the country in 1848 when the first events took place. I'm sure you guys have heard about the Fox sisters. Their four adult children have long since moved away and started families of their own, leaving the youngest daughters, Margarita and Catherine, Maggie and Kate, in their small home. One night in March, the family was asleep when strange noises abruptly startled them awake. Reportedly, a variety of bangs, raps, and similar sounds kept the family up for that night, but they could never find the source of this. It was on March 31st, the day often recognized as the birth of spiritualism, when Kate, the younger of the two girls, decided to try and discover what was causing the rapping. She asked the noise to rap 10 times, and it did. Kate's questions became more complicating, querying as the ages of the 6 Fox children, among other things, and each time the tapping responded perfectly. I'm not going to read this whole article for you, but I will tell you that this was the beginning of the spiritualist movement, and you have these communities back east where people flock at different times of the year to go and learn about spirit communication. Basically, what happened over a period of time is that these girls, they continued communicating with the spirit, and basically what they got was, "Dear friends, you must proclaim this truth to the world. This is the dawning of a new era. You must not try to conceal it any longer. When you do your duty, God will protect you and good spirits will watch over you." Now, I will tell you that these girls got an awful lot of press, and although later on the Fox sisters would come under considerable heat with allegations of fraud and hoax, these allegations would never be proven without a shadow of a doubt, and the commercial success this family had led to a much more important element, a way of believing in life after death, modern spiritualism, Now, spiritualism, you guys, is actually a religion. It studies the law of nature on both the seen and unseen sides of life and bases its conclusions upon present observed facts. It strives to understand the relationship between the physical, spiritual, and mental laws of nature that God has put into place. Actually, in 1856, Rochester became the home to one of the first spiritualist churches. If you have never been to a spiritualist church, I have said this time and time again, you need to go. Spiritualism has evolved much since those days when the physical phenomena were used to wow them in the aisles to build a basis for a faith. Today, more emphasis has been placed on mental mediumship and healing. And it's very, very popular, but these folks are pretty quiet. I mean, they don't advertise. You know what's really interesting is that one of the Fox sisters, I read this great book. I found it in some bend of, you know, like your $1.99 books. And it was actually a biography on the Fox sisters. And one of the sisters recanted and said, okay, I guess the pressure really had gotten to her. The skeptics just pounded her. And she said, okay, I made it all up. Nothing happened. But then, as time moved on, she recanted again, and she said, okay, wait a second. I felt pressured. Seriously, this did happen. But in Rochester, paranormal activity has been a long-standing interest of many investigative teams. Many have taken the scientific approach to exploring it, while others have taken, oh my gosh, we have some weather here. I hope you guys can still hear me. We might have some interference. It's getting a little interesting here. Recently, Western New York Paranormal conducted some experiments with spirit through a guided table rapping session with spiritualist leader Tim Shaw. If any of you want to, plug him in your search engine. Just plug Tim Shaw and then put spiritualist behind it and see what you get and email me. During this experiment, we had three tables set up with members at each table. Trained upon each table were a multitude of cameras and recorders. And it says here that we all need to check back with the Western New York Paranormal Society to see what their results were. So, very, very interesting. The roots of spiritualism, the roots of real investigation into life after death, moving it from the churches and into something with more substance. There are people who take afterlife study and such encounters very seriously, and they view mysticism as an integral part of the fabric of everyday living. And then, hold me back. There's Madonna, my girl. Yes, that's right. The Sunday Times, Britain, August 20th, 2006. Oh, geez. You know, she's hijacking my religion. What am I going to do, gang? If y'all have some suggestions for me, will you email me at drsbrandon@sbcglobal.net? Madonna's magical nuclear waste cure. Yeah. Kabbalah fluid can clean it up. Now, I have to tell you that I picked up my copy of the Zohar, which is like the text for Kabbalah study, and nowhere in there did I read that there was a magical cure for nuclear waste. Madonna and her husband, Guy Ritchie, have been lobbying the government and the nuclear industry over a scheme to clean up radioactive waste with a supposedly magic Kabbalah fluid. You know, I'm having dinner tomorrow night with my good buddy, Rabbi Jimmy Kessler. He's my bud. I can't wait to ask him about this. The couple, both following the Jewish spiritual movement. Okay, let's get this straight. This is not a Jewish spiritual movement. This is a podunk conglomeration of Madonna takes what she likes from Kabbalah and applies it to what she thinks it should be applied to. Well, anyway, these two, they approached Downing Street, Whitehall, and British Nuclear Fuels, promoting a mystical liquid tested in a Ukrainian lake. It was like a crank call. The scientific mechanisms and principles were just bollocks, basically, one official said. Gee, wonder why. But civil servants at the Department of Trade and Industry and scientists were obliged to take the celebrity couple seriously. God, that ticks me off. Waste of money. So I guess if I was a celebrity, I could peddle some of my bizarre ideas. You know, here's this woman. She's got all this incredible talent. She's pretty. She's, boy, the things that she could be doing with her money. Madonna is said to have approached Downing Street before being directed to the Department of Trade and Industry. She relentlessly pursued people, said a formal civil servant. She wanted to get this Russian scientist to explain this to civil servants. But her campaign became bogged down by Whitehall bureaucracy. It was a case of, pass the parcel, said the civil servant. Right now the world is nuclear waste, she said. This is something I've been involved with a group of scientists finding a way to neutralize radiation, believe it or not. The Kabbalah Center, which is based in Los Angeles, by the way, I had a really good friend who got hooked up and all that. Boy, did that poor boy get lost. He got lost. He and his wife got a divorce. His kids don't speak to him. It's a form of fundamentalism in the Jewish religion, the Kabbalah Center. I'm not a big supporter. But has branches worldwide set up by Philip Berg, a former insurance salesman. One devotee has described how Berg leads chants of Chernobyl and the names of other nuclear power plants. Followers believe this helps heal the problem of nuclear waste. Undercover reporters who attended a Kabbalah Central dinner in London described how Madonna and Richie were among guests who turned east towards Chernobyl and began shouting its name. That will fix it. Some Kabbalah followers are even said to believe that nuclear waste is the cause of the AIDS epidemic. Now, this sent me soaring. Soaring. Madonna has said, according to science, we aren't going to have a planet in about 50 years. Okay, you guys, so you all got 50 years. I'm 50, so I guess by the time I'm 100, I'm on my way out. Boy, somebody give me a seltzer. Okay, as a Jew who thoroughly appreciates the history and words of wisdom of the Kabbalah tradition, I can say loud and clear that Madonna needs to sit with a traditional Orthodox rabbi who isn't out for celebrity and fame for about 2 years every night for 2 to 3 hours. So, for Madonna, let's quickly go over Kabbalah again. Number one, the red string. Now, Jews have been tying red string ribbons on baby cribs and on their arms and on their things that they treasure forever and ever and ever. It's an old tradition. Basically, it goes back to, you know, you want to keep the evil eye away. Don't spend $35 on a red string from Israel, for crying out loud. Go. Years ago, I went and found some great bright red antique beads, and I made myself a little bracelet. Be creative. If that's something that you want to do, save your money. Seriously, don't spend $25 to $35 on the red string. You're getting ripped off. Actually, Kabbalah literally means a receiving, in the sense of a received tradition. It's an esoteric form of Jewish mysticism which attempts to reveal hidden mystical insights in the Hebrew Bible. It offers mystical insight into divine nature. So, the thought goes like this. We've talked about this. Months ago we talked about this. That the belief was that in the Hebrew Bible there were three meanings to the text. There was the meaning for the lay population, most of whom did not read nor write. And so what would happen is the priests, they would give these parables and these little midrashes, and they were ways of teaching the lay public how to behave. You know, you don't go sleep with your neighbor's wife, things, basic stuff. Then there was a special meaning for the priests. It was a little deeper. And then there were the mystics, and it was a bit deeper. So the term Kabbalah was originally used in Talmudic texts among the early medieval rabbis and by later medieval rabbis as a reference to the full body of oral tradition of Jewish teaching which was publicly available. Okay? Do you hear that? It's not just for a select few. Kabbalah was used in referring to all of Judaism's oral law. So, like most religions, Christianity, all the beginning religions were oral tradition. Over time, the oral law was recorded, but the esoteric teachings remained an oral tradition. And there was a reason for that. We've talked about that. There was a need for people to get grounded in family and grounded in job and grounded in learning how to care for the self and being a good member of the community. Then, once they were grounded, they were introduced to mysticism. Thus, this term became connected with doctrines of esoteric knowledge concerning God's creation of the universe and the laws of nature and reasons for the commandments and the ways of nature and the laws of nature and how they interact with spirituality and the ways in which God administers the existence of the universe. Now, even the esoteric teachings of the Torah are recorded, but it's still known as Kabbalah. Hey, gang, nothing woo-woo about this. Been around for a bazillion years. According to Jewish tradition, Kabbalah dates from Adam, although modern liberal rabbis date its origins to the 13th century. It is considered part of the Jewish oral law by a majority of religious Jews in moral time. In modern times, although this is not agreed upon by many, you know, Jews, we all got to argue. We have to argue over dates. It's just a way of life. Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism, teaches that God is neither matter nor spirit. Rather, God is the creator of both, but is himself neither. Yeah, try to wrap your mind around that. But if God is so different from his creation, how can there be any interaction between the creator and the created? This question prompted Kabbalists to envision two aspects of God. God himself, who in the end is unknowable, and the revealed aspect of God that created the universe, who preserves the universe and interacts with mankind. Kabbalists speak of the first aspect of God as En Sof. This is translated into infinite. In other words, God's not in a box. In this view, nothing can be said about this aspect of God. The second aspect, however, is at least partially accessible to human thought. So you could say it's your conscience. It's, you know, you're sitting with a group of people and somebody says something that resonates with you, and that's God speaking through them. Some Kabbalah scholars believe that all things are linked to God, making us all part of one great chain of being. That interconnectedness, that sense of spiritual universal interconnectedness, which New Agers think they have invented. In other words, God co-creates with us. Others hold that God is all that really exists. All else is completely undifferentiated from God's perspective. In truth, according to this philosophy, God's existence is higher than anything that this world can express. Once again, can't put God in a box. You know, that works for me. Tradition has it that Kabbalah was a form of mystical divinity first taught by God to the company of angels, and that some glimpses of its message were conferred upon Adam, that the wisdom passed from him unto Noah, then to Abraham, and that it was from him who the Egyptians of his era learned a portion of the doctrine. Moses derived a partial bit of this mystical divinity from the land of his birth, and this was perfected by direct communications with the deity. From Moses, it was passed to the 70 elders of the Jewish nation, and from them, these mystical ideas were handed down from generation to generation. So, Madonna and her crowd Kabbalah is not exclusive to them and Britney Spears. Rabbi Chaim Vital, author of one of the most famous works, actually wrote about the revolution of souls or the scheme of reincarnations. How many of you knew that in Hasidic Judaism, in mystical Judaism, reincarnation is discussed? Rabbi Luria, he's like one of the most famous of all Kabbalah rabbis. He actually founded a school in 1560. So, Madonna, are we clear? Chanting in the direction of the Chernobyl disaster and pushing people around with your celebrity isn't going to change the world. True mystical Jews practice random acts of kindness, just like Christians and Buddhists, and make dramatic political changes every day without the press trailing behind them. Now, did you know mystical Jews have believed in the power of prophecy for generations? Some time ago, we talked about Christianity and early Christianity and how Jesus didn't even know that he was a Christian. That basically what he did is he tried to spread the basic tenets of Judaism to the populace. He wanted to include everybody. And that he probably went into the Middle East and studied mysticism and probably had some deathbed experiences and near-death experiences himself, which are at the base of Christianity. And a lot of Christians always want to shoot me when I say that. But Rabbi Moses Botarel, and this guy was around in 1480, taught that by leading a pure life, a man's dreams might be made prophetic. So if we lived a good life, we could begin to have these mystical dreams, which were different from everyday dreams, which were prophetic in nature. I don't remember when it happened exactly, but it was probably a few years ago. One night, I dreamed that my coworker was in a taxi wearing morning clothes. I don't remember it exactly, but she was in the taxi and crying. I looked at her from upper side of the taxi like a spirit. After getting up, I didn't realize why I dreamed such a strange kind of dream. I didn't know the meaning of the dream afterwards. When I went to my office, I was informed that my coworker's mother had been killed in a traffic accident and she was absent that day. I was surprised to hear that and was even more astonished to learn that her mother had died at the same time I had had my dream. I think I told you guys that after 9/11, the airplane crashed in Queens, and it wasn't terror-related, but it caused a lot of devastation. At the exact moment that that plane crashed in Queens, I had a dream about the crash, and I had a dream about people leaving their bodies and leaving the plane and in spirit going and kissing their loved ones goodbye, and the plane had landed in a residential area, and lo and behold, when I got up and turned on the boob tube, there it was, news alert. So this is actually an experience that everyday people can have. A lot of us don't trust it, though. We do not trust it. Before 9/11, I had a dream where I was told that everything would be okay and to just hang on tight and to just take care and take care of my family, but that it would be okay. So, you know, I think that there is a connectedness amongst all of us, and that the future is here and the past is here, and that we can access that in certain ways. Here's another one. My mother was dying of lung cancer, and I was, as you can imagine, totally devastated. I cried buckets of tears and prayed for a miracle cure, but when things got so bad, I gave up and ask God to please let me know the date that she would die so that I may be prepared. Silently in my mind, I went through the days of the month, and it seemed different when I reached the number 28. At that moment, I said out loud to my husband, "Mom will die on the 28th. He didn't answer me, and I just let it go. She went into a coma on the 27th and died at 4 a.m. on August 28, 1997. Do you know how many of those experiences I have heard where people will come and they will share with me that they were sitting with Mom and Mom looked perfectly well and seemed to be in a really good place, and Mom announces, "In a year I'm going to be dead." And to that date, within a year, the mother is dead. That's not an unusual occurrence where people have an idea of when they will pass. On at least two occasions, I saw someone in a car before that car and person arrived. Saw a person in a room bound and gagged. Same individual is later killed, bound, gagged, strangled. Saw the ghost of a living person walk into a storage room and disappear. Person was somewhere else in the building. Event also witnessed by a second party. So Now, I've said this to you guys before. There is mama worry. My kid tells me, okay, Mom, me and my girlfriend, we're gonna jump in the car, and we're going to take off, and we're going to go to Austin for the weekend. And the mama in me goes, oh, my God, he's going to get hit. He's going to end up on the side of the road in the gutter. Nobody will find the body. That's called mama worry. This is a little bit different. This is a little bit different. It's that strong, strong impression. One woman I worked with a number of years ago, she said that she kept having dreams about her husband being in a coffin over and over and over again. And her husband, he seemed okay, he seemed fine, didn't feel like anything was wrong with him, and so she thought something was really wrong with her. Well, shortly after these series of coffin dreams, as she called them, her husband did die suddenly. So, yes, we can have these experiences. And those above premonitions were taken from About Paranormal. That's a great site, too, another one of my favorites. Plug that into your website and go take a peek there. Now, also, here's something interesting. The World Trade Center tragedy, was it prophesized? Song lyrics and album covers. It is inevitable when some great tragedy strikes that by coincidence a previously created work of art, fiction, or music will be seen as a foretelling. One of the most famous examples, I put this in one of my books, I think I put this in One Last Tug Before I Go, of this, was a short story called Futility by Morgan Robertson that eerily foretold the sinking of the Titanic. In the story, written 12 years before the Titanic disaster, Robertson wrote of a ship called the Titan, which met its fate by striking an iceberg on its starboard side and sinking. In size and capacity, along with many other parallels, the Titan's resemblance to Titanic is uncanny. Similarly, song lyrics and an album cover have been cited as being predictive of the World Trade Center attack. A song called Messiah, written and performed by Guatemalan pop artist Ricardo, I'm going to massacre this last name, Arjona, contains lyrics that have some interesting similarities to the World Trade Center case. And here's the words to the song. The Messiah was born in New York. He drives an armored car out of precaution. The Pope fears some massive loss. The Messiah is preparing a blow, and no one knows the date. He has an associate in Japan, another in Afghanistan. He speaks with God daily through the internet. He promotes change, and he's made enemies. The church accuses him of heresy, and the Pentagon accuses him of being a terrorist. It's on the front page of the New York Times, and a cloud of doubt casts a shadow on the sun. Now, get this. On the album cover that was planned for an upcoming release by the hip-hop group The Coop, this was even far more disturbing. The cover art for the album Party Music, which was created about 2 months before, depicts two members of the group posed in front of the World Trade Center's Twin Towers, which are exploding. So 2 months before the World Trade Center bombings happened, here this group, this is their cover for their album. The fire and smoke billowing from the buildings in the artwork are starkly similar to the photos and video taken shortly after the second terrorist-controlled plane struck the towers. The coincidence or foreshadowing is astonishing. The label, 75 ARC, has decided not to use the artwork on the cover album. Wow. That's, you know, I really do believe that artists with music, people who are writers, artists who create, that there is this tapping into this, it's almost like this flow, this river of spirit, and there is no past, there is no present, and I think that very creative people oftentimes can really tap into this stuff. Here's another premonition. This is one of my favorites. The cursed towers. Psychic, you know, do you guys remember all of the skeptics screaming and yelling about, well, why didn't any of these psychics predict the World Trade Center bombings? Well, actually, I know of several who did, but nobody would listen to them. Well, here's an account. The psychic Joyce Keller believes that a colleague predicted the fate of the World Trade Center. During the time that the World Trade Center was being built around 1973, says Joyce, I was in a New York City meditation class conducted by a pretty well-known psychic. He was also employed by New York City as a building inspector. During one of his classes, he said, do not go into the World Trade Center after it is constructed. It will come down in our lifetime. It is cursed. The psychic currently lives in Florida. I emailed him after 9/11 to congratulate him on his accurate but extremely tragic prediction. I was in the World Trade Center quite a few times and knew his prediction would be correct, but did not know the time. I was actually in the World Trade Center a few days before 9/11 and became extremely nauseous and upset and felt the attack would be imminent. I also realized that there was no way it could be prevented. My cousin was supposed to have lunch at the World Trade Center the day that it was blown up. And some angel, somebody tapped him on the shoulder and, you know, and he ended up not going. So if you cruise the net or if you listen to New Yorkers talk, you'll hear stories like this about, wow, I just missed it. Or another patient of mine who was going to school out there who usually took the subway that was right underneath near the World Trade Center, that day decided to take a different route. And so she was not impacted. She was spooked, I'll tell you that. She was very, very spooked. Okay, now here is one that really deserves some discussion. Fifth grader's vision. Another disturbing prediction came from the mouth of a fifth grade student in a Dallas suburb. On September 10th, the day before the attack, the boy, whose name was kept confidential because of his age, made an incredible, unexpected statement to his teacher. The boy said that World War III would begin the next day. It will begin in the United States, he said, and the United States will lose. On the day of the attack and the following day, the boy was absent from school. After the attack took place, school officials notified the FBI of the boy's statements, although the boy and his family were not suspected of having any special knowledge of the event. So what prompted this boy, this little guy, to make such a declaration to his teacher? Was it just a coincidence? Was it child fantasy, or did he have some special vision of the terrorist attack? And, of course, it remains to be seen whether or not the attack will be the first strike in Third World War. I don't know about you guys, but kind of is looking that way to me. Now, finally, the drive-by media and skeptics continue to diss those psychics who are credible when they comment, well, why didn't any of these psychics warn us? As I said, they did. Valerie Clark's amazing prediction. Where were the psychics with regard to the World Trade Center tragedy? Perhaps she was in the UK. Valerie Clark, a psychic from Lancaster, UK, appeared on the BBC's Kilroy show last June. On that program, which has been recorded, Clark, this is previous to the World Trade Center situation, Clark told host Robert Kilroy that she had received a vision of a massive explosion caused by an aircraft crashing into the second tower of the World Trade Center. Okay, there you got it, right there, black and blue, you know? She told the BBC TV audience, I had this dream a while ago, and I thought it was a bombing at the World Trade Center. In my dream, I was at the World Trade Center wandering the streets. I was in some sort of barricade when the building blew up. At the same time, this plane went down behind it. In my dream, I was not sure if the plane had gone into the building. Clark's nightmare will undoubtedly be regarded as the most accurate psychic premonition of the devastating World Trade Center attack. So, unfortunately, who's going to give folks like us airtime? Especially some of these people who are, you know, there are people out there who are plagued by experiences like this. My friend Chris Robinson, you know, he dreams disaster. The guy dreams disaster. He dreamed about the World Trade Center. In a couple of weeks, we'll talk about that. I've had a few people contact me who have had some incredible premonitions, and they are premonitions that have to do with world events to come, and I'm in the process of checking folks out, and I'm going to see who I can get for a couple of weeks so that we can go into this in a little more depth. Now, my buddy Stephen Wagner at About Paranormal website wrote the following. The predictions are in. A few months ago, we asked readers to participate in our annual predictions event. They were asked to tell us what they see will happen in 2006 in 8 categories: best world event, worst world event, best national event, worst national event, greatest scientific discovery, invention, awards predictions, Oscars, Grammys, Nobel Prize, surprise predictions, and other predictions. Now, these premonitions were given to Stephen, okay, at the beginning of 2006. So I'm going to just read a few of them. Listen to this one. Troops will be pulled out of Iraq, but some sent to Israel. Well, what just happened, you guys? UK and US troops will be pulled out of Iraq by April. That did happen. Doctors develop a medicine that can destroy HIV viruses. A vaccine is developed against the bird flu. Well, if you've been following the news, there has been talk about a vaccine which is being tested right now, brand new news on the HIV virus. And, of course, there is a lot of work around the bird flu. We remember how scared we all were that we were all going to get the bird flu? A cure for cancer, a combination of natural and nuclear that is effective, will be developed. This is a really interesting one. Y'all write this down. The Vatican will release an ancient scroll which will change the course of religion as we know it. Boy, I can't wait to see that. Wouldn't that be fun? People will survive an alien attack and win the intergalactic war. Marijuana will be legalized. Okay, now here's one y'all need to pay attention to. Here's another one to write down. A winter like none that has hit the northern hemisphere will hit mid-January with blizzards and ice storms shutting down major metropolitan areas, causing power outages, food shortages, and rioting. Okay, so that's one that we have to write down. We have to see what happens. The worst world event will take place in Jerusalem. There will be a disaster of biblical proportions, and the world will be astounded. Al-Qaeda makes a terrorist attack sometime between May and August in Chicago. Okay, we're almost at the end of August, so we got a couple of more days for that. Some of these are very curious. Terrorism continues to be a problem throughout the Middle East. New attacks happen in Northern Ireland and Spain that have nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. Let's see. Mother Nature has only begun. Natural disasters will continue to escalate. A war between Iran and Israel will spark the wars of the apocalypse, and that America will suffer another terrorist attack and will see a major civil war break out. Okay, remember, these were given before. This was given before you had the conflict in between Israel and Lebanon, with Iran backing Lebanon. War will break out between Iran and Israel, with Russia behind Iran. China indecisive. U.S. and European nations will help Israel. What do you guys think of this? America and some allies go to war against Iran after Iran declares war on Israel. Major economic and human crisis in Russia. Well, that's not a stretch. Being a German from Russia, yeah, I kind of understand. I can see that happening. Okay, the U.S. goes to war with Iran or North Korea, and it's a war on religion. There will be more airplane crashes than usual. An incident will prompt action and further sanctions on Iran. A poor attempt at cloning humans will fail, but out of failure will come new understanding and new ways to clone. Did I mention marijuana will be legalized? Somebody wanted to make sure they got that one in. George Bush is indicted on charges of lying to the public about the reasons for the Iraq war, and impeachment proceedings begin. Well, you know, there's been talk about that, so I don't know about that one. I see President Bush leaving, but it ends when I get someone saying Bush has been a, and then there's an expletive. I think somebody just sort of threw that one in there. Mount Rainier will blow her top. Mount Shasta the same. More sharks attacks in New Jersey shores. An 18-foot great white shark will cause panic. Volcano in a small Pennsylvania town will cause panics. And Mount Rainier will erupt. The Queen's supposed to pass away. San Francisco could experience a fearful earthquake in December. There's supposed to be a radiation or chemical leak in the Midwest in September. That's next month. Another major terrorist attack will happen in the U.S. That's the third time we've seen that one. A major earthquake in South Carolina. I don't know. You ever been to South Carolina? Here again we have a terrorist attack in Chicago. Sears Tower seriously damaged. Earthquake hits L.A. and hundreds die. A major earthquake or landslide in California. They've been saying that for years. God, when I was a kid living in California, they kept telling us that half of California was going to, you know, fall into the ocean. President Bush may die in office, and Oprah's supposed to leave her show. And a new, young, good-looking black woman will take her place. This woman has her own show now. Oprah is being guided for her next big step. What was hidden in Texas involving assassination will become known. A very old Texas family tied to the presidency will shock the people. That must have something to do with the Kennedy assassination. Let's see. Ariel Sharon will lose the Israeli election in March. Well, you know, that's an interesting one because he strokes. Somebody check that out. When did he stroke? Because this was given way before he stroked. Whitney Houston claims bankruptcy. Major NFL player will be killed in a freak accident. Popular rapper involved in a sex scandal, which will reveal he is gay. Did you guys write that down? Okay, and here is the last one. Osama bin Laden and al-Zarqawi will be killed. Well, al-Zarqawi, he was killed. So that one was from my buddy at Near Death. He has a whole site devoted to near-death experiences. His name is Kevin Williams. It's a great site. If you want to learn more about the near-death experience, plug in his name, Kevin Williams at NDE or Near Death. And that will take you right to his page. So, what do you want? Do you want to see if you've got some premonitions going on? Now, the best way to see if you're having premonitions is to carry around a date book and keep that date book by the side of your bed. And make sure that date book has a place for you to write. And now, premonitions in dream form make a very, very strong impression on us. What you do, if you have an experience like that and you wake up and you're sweating and you're shaking and you're feeling, oh, my God, I can't believe I had that dream, is you pick up that date book and you document it on the day that you had it, on the evening that you had it. And then what you do is you write the dream out, and then you see if it comes to fruition. If you have a sense, some sort of sense during the day, that, you know, there's just this feeling that something's going to happen, and you're just having a really strong sense that something's going to happen in your date book, document that and write the time that you had the experience. Always write the time that you have these dreams and the time that you have these experiences so that in case something does come up for you, you can go back and you can check. I really do think that each of us has within our spiritual being an internal warning system. And, you know, if you noticed when the tsunamis hit last year, the animals split. They didn't hang around. They all took off. They're like, I'm out of here. The birds flew away. The animals went to higher ground. They knew intuitively that something was going to be happening pretty soon and that it was dangerous, and so they got out of the way. There has actually been research on that. I'm going to dig around and see if I can find some of that research. There has been research on how animals behave when an earthquake is going to happen or a tsunami is going to hit. So why on earth shouldn't we have a system like that working for us? It makes perfect sense to me. It doesn't seem that far off to me. Why are all the skeptics screaming and yelling again? Because people want to talk about this. So go ahead, and for the next couple of weeks, I want you guys to list any unusual dreams that you have. I want you to list any unusual sensations you have that are of a premonition nature, and go ahead and document those and write them down. A couple of you have sent me some of your premonitions, and I apologize for not getting back to you yet. I will. But if between now and our next getting together time you have some experiences, go ahead and email them to Drs. Brandon, Drsbrandon, at sbcglobal.net. Or if you have Yahoo Instant Messenger, you can also instant message me. So, gang, it's time for me to, I think I'm going to go soak my feet, get another cup of tea. I've got a great book that I'm going to read. My guys, everybody's gone for the evening. They all went to go see, that movie Snakes. They all went to go see that movie Snakes, where all the snakes invade the airplane. I have no interest, none. It's guys' night out, so they all went and ate cheap Mexican food, and they're all going to go watch Snakes. So I've got the evening to myself. So, as usual, it's a pleasure to have spent this hour with you. Know that death is nothing to fear. Death is actually just a bus stop to the next experience, and that no matter what the clergy says, no matter what the skeptics say, death is just a change of address. Our loved ones are on the other side, still loving us. And if we quiet ourselves, we can actually reach out and touch them and allow them to touch us too. So this is Dr. Carla Wills Brandon signing off. You have just taken a walk to the other side. Sleep sweet and sleep deep. And we will be talking again in 2 weeks.